1. Snow in my mouth, in my nose, burning my eyes as winds buffet me about like a scrap of cloth tangled on the mountainside. Kiernan screams for help. His voice is raw, cracking. He holds my hand with a grip so tight it hurts. I suspect it would hurt more if I weren't so numb.
Stay with me, Krista,
he repeats, and his words are dragged away by gale force winds.
Don't leave me.
Snowdrifts rise up to my knees. We're struggling, clawing our way across a landscape we can barely see. I don't know where we're going. I don't think Kiernan knows either, and that thought is terrifying. Nothing around us is familiar. I can no longer see the sun or which way the summit is, or whether there was ever a path under the snow we're stumbling through. All I can see is white, interrupted by pockets of black rock jutting out of the empty void. The landscape is inhospitable, jagged and harsh, inhumane. Not even the wildlife wants to live here. My black jacket has turned gray under a coating of snow. My heart thunders, each pulse bruising the back of my ribs. I can barely breathe. My scarf keeps sliding down to my chin, exposing my face to the brunt of the snowstorm. My nose burns. I imagine blood vessels bursting and spreading a web of red lines across my skin. I pull the scarf up again, trying to hold it in place, but then my footing slips on the uneven terrain and I stumble. Kiernan clutches at me. He tries to pull me back up, but we've been fighting the snowstorm for too long, and we're both exhausted. Instead, he drops to his knees beside me. Not much of his face is visible, just a slim line between his neck gaiter and thermal hat, revealing squinted eyes and pale skin. Ice flecks cling to his brows and lashes.
It's not far,
he says. The wind howls around us, deafening, and he bends close so that I can hear his voice.
We only need to go a bit farther.
He's said that before, nearly an hour ago. It wasn't supposed to be like this. No one had expected the storm, or how rapidly we would lose the path once visibility dropped. Kiernan tugs at me, his gloved hand slipping off my jacket as he tries to pull me up.
Come on, Krista.
Another pull.
Not far.
I'm so exhausted. My exposed skin is either numb or burning. I scramble to rise, and Kiernan pulls me against himself.
There we go,
he says, or I think he says, under the gale. His hand runs down my arm until it finds my hand. Then he grips it, and I grip back as fiercely as I can. We're perhaps 100 miles from civilization. My view from the tour bus window showed sparse hiking trails, but no houses, no shelter. Nothing but endless stretches of unforgiving wilderness, craggy dark rocks and infrequent anemic pine trees. The mountain range rose ahead of us and cut across the skyline like a broken knife. We are truly, unbelievably alone. We're going to die out here, I think, and the fear turns to acid on my tongue.
Hello!
Kiernan yells into the void.
Hello!
I'd screamed with him at first, pushing my voice to rise above the howling winds, until it cracked in the cold air and I couldn't even hear myself. Now it's all I can do to stay on my feet, stay moving. The scarf slips again, and it feels like my skin is being scraped off by sandpaper. I turn my head away from the gale, and Kiernan notices. He tugs his own scarf off his neck. Out of the two of us, he was the better dressed, the better prepared. He'd grown up in an area not too different from here. He'd known how temperamental it could be. He reaches the scarf toward me. I shake my head. You need it. His hand finds my jacket lapel and pulls me closer as he loops the thick merino wool around me.
Don't fight me on this,
he says. The scarf doesn't just sit around my neck, but covers the lower half of my face, almost blocking my eyes. It smells of damp and Kiernan's breath and sweat. My own hot breath blows around my cheeks with every exhale. Kiernan bends to put our heads at the same height. He's still wearing his